I could tell of the story when thousands were fed, when he lifted the sick, when he raised up the dead. I could sing of the others, hide the blind man to see, but I'd rather tell you what's happened to me. I'm saved to the uttermost, I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. Through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. You must be forgiven to make heaven your home. The good life you're living won't do it alone. So trust in the Savior, he'll save you today. And with blessed assurance, you too can say, I'm saved to the uttermost, I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. Through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. Through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved. Hallelujah, Jesus saves.
Bible and turn to Psalm 116, please. Psalm 116. We're going to read responsively today. In other words, I'll read the first verse alone. You'll join in on the second verse. Next verse, I'll read alone. And then on the fourth verse, you'll join in and so forth. Psalm 116, please, this morning. As you're finding your place, or if you've already found it, if you're able, please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God together this morning. Psalm 116, I'll begin, and you follow along, and then we'll together, as I said. Ready? I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Together? Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from my tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all the benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant. And the son of thine handmaid, thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, together on the last, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Thank you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this passage. Use it today to help us. We need to hear from heaven today. So, Father, I pray for us, the listeners, whether on the internet or in this room, and also pray for Pastor Johnson as he comes. Anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. And Father, if there's somebody in this room or listening on the internet that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they'd trust him today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
As you're being seated, now check your cell phone. I thought I heard one go off just a moment ago. And in our church here, we kind of have a rule that if your cell phone goes off in the service, you are doomed for eternity. No mercy, no grace. So if you want mercy and grace, turn your cell phone off. Okay, we read it responsibly. I want you to go back to Psalm 116 with me. I want you to read verse 1 with me as we do, and then I want you to stop when I say stop. Are you ready? Psalm 116, verse number 1. Read it with me, and I'll tell you when to stop as we read it. Ready? Here we go. I love the Lord because... Stop. I love the Lord because... What are your becauses this morning? I love the Lord because. You know, David here is an old man, probably 68, 69, something like that. He's looking back over his life. You know, David knew, he knew his fair share of victories, and he knew some real defeats in his life. Hey, David saw God work in his life so mightily, and David saw God take his presence away from him because of his sin. Now look at me. So he's an old man, and he's looking back over his life. He's probably thought about Goliath that day in that valley of Elah, where as a teenage boy, a pocket full of rocks, he knocks the giant down, cuts his head off. He's thinking about that one. I wonder if he's thinking about Bathsheba and this child that sin cost them. You look back over his life, and what does he say? I love the Lord because. Can I ask you a question? What would your becauses be to that statement? I love the Lord because. Now, would it be that you love him because of all the things he's done for you in your life? All the benefits he's given you. We just read that psalm. He talks about God hearing and answering his prayer, providing for needs, taking care of things. That's part of it. But wait a minute. David also loved the Lord because of who God is. Say, well, that's probably the better way, isn't it? No, you should love him for what he's done for you. That way you won't forget that. Boy, this morning, I wish I could have preached this sermon this morning on my back porch. Just having some time with God in the cool of the day, which lasts about 20 minutes around here. But I was sitting there having my green tea and honey. Oh, yes. Because coffee is for people with no character. And I'm sorry. Grieve the Holy Spirit right off the bat. That's terrible. I was sitting there with my cup of hot green tea and honey. And I knew where I was going with this, and I said, you know, I love you, Lord, this morning. Because, and then I paused a moment, and I thought, first thing came to my mind was what God has been to me and done for me. And I thought, well, is that wrong? No, I don't think it's wrong, but wait a minute. Fellas, if you look at your wife and you say, I love you because... You're a great cook. You keep the house so nice. Because, and your list is all the stuff she does for you. Is that all there is to it then? I love the Lord because... So I had a little time with him on the porch this morning. And I did thank him for my salvation, and I thanked him for his grace and his mercy and his goodness and giving me life, certain degree of health. Now, giving me good health. And then I said, Lord, I love you because of who you are. He is God. I know we accept, you know, I'm afraid we give a mental assent to the fact that God exists, which always impresses me because I come across atheists, you know. Well, I don't happen to believe there is a God. And I always think, yeah, you're brilliant. It's not that they're stupid. It's just they're not any good at thinking. But then I think, wait a minute. He is God, creator of this universe. Spun the stars in their courses. I looked up at the blue sky this morning. I said, that's a footstool for him. Just a footstool. Puts the moon out at night and the sun in the morning, and he's God. I love the Lord because he's good, he's gracious. But wait a minute. I love the Lord because he is God. I'm afraid if we're not careful, we'll just kind of treat him like the big Santa Claus of the sky and all that he does for us. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that's not important. Please don't take that for granted. Don't take for granted his goodness and his kindness and his provision and all those things that he does for us. But ladies and gentlemen, you do understand we ought to love him just because he is God. The God. He's God. He's the big G God. He's not one of them. He's the God. He is God. And then if you stop to think about it, but then He's my heavenly Father. The God of the universe, because of faith in Christ and salvation and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, to many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now he's my heavenly Father. So no one needs to go through life feeling like their relationship with their dad wasn't right, so their life is ruined. Can I help you with something? Get over your father issues, would you please? And while you're at that, throw the mother issues in there too. Just get over it. Just get over it. Just get over it. Would you get over it? But I tell you what this morning, if you are a child of God, he is your heavenly Father. He claimed you the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior. And the God of heaven, ladies and gentlemen, God is my heavenly Father. Been rejected, been treated, mistreated by family and all that kind of junk that we make such a huge deal out of. He said, well, it is a big deal, Pastor Johnson. Nah, it's not as big as we make it. It's big, but it's not as big as we make it. It can be affecting us, our lives, but it shouldn't affect us because I'm a child of God. I have a heavenly Father. He has always been faithful to me. I have not always been faithful to him. Neither have you. And the truth is, he's still your heavenly Father if you're a child of God. I love the Lord because he's my Jehovah. He's my Elohim. He's my right here present when I need him, God. What are your becauses this morning? I love the Lord because, how about because of what he is? He is the God of heaven. He's not a God. He's not on the list. They ain't no list. You understand? There's no list with God. God's not on anybody's list. It's not, you know, God and Buddha and all these other things. That's not how it works. It's not God and then the Hindu, 330 million of theirs, and no God, and then there's the no God people, you know. It's amazing. Now they're telling us that they want to have chaplains in the military for atheists. What do they need a chaplain for? There's no God, so what do you need a chaplain for? And why are these people so hostile towards someone who's not there? If he's not there, shut up about it. Hey, leave us alone. That's unbelievable to me. People say, well, we should respect their belief. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Good night, people. Those trees know there's a God. The birds that fly through the air know there's a God. The mountains point up to God. His creation proves there's a God. How the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day into day uttereth speech. Night into night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It cries across the borders of this life. There is the God of heaven. He is almighty. He is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. And he knows everything about me. And yet, for some reason, he's decided he still loves me. Now, I can't answer for you, but I can tell you that's how it is with me. Of course he loves you. Nobody ever loved you like God loves you. That's who he is. God is love. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, for God is love. That's amazing when you stop to think about what he is. Yes, the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, spun the stars into their courses, knows all of them by name, and there's trillions of stars. And yet he numbers the hair on a person's head, notes the sparrows fall, and knows who you are. Man, I wish they made one of these things that didn't run. Do you love the Lord because of what he is? Loving, merciful, forgiving, patient, comforting, yet convicting, correcting, chastising. That's all him now. Do you love him because of what he is? Everybody wants the teddy bear God. Everybody wants the fuzzy God. Everybody wants that little God over there that we put in the corner, you know. Hide him over there till Sunday shows up, and then we go to church when we feel like it. That one. We all want that kind of a God. We want that little dashboard God. You put them little plastic God things on the dashboard. And only when you need him, that's the only time you need him, and all that kind of stuff. You know what's amazing is he's incredible enough to still respond to that kind of stuff. I don't understand that. If I got treated like that, I wouldn't have anything to do with people. That's not how God is. He's incredible. He's amazing. He is patient. Everybody wants a little fuzzy, nice God that doesn't cause any problems, never gives us a bad time. Nobody wants a God. Hardly if anybody wants a God that takes you to the woodshed and whoops you like a redheaded stepchild when you need it, and gets all over your case and convicts you of your sin and deals with you about your life and your living and your thinking and your conduct and your behavior and what you do. That kind of God's not real popular, but I got news for you, pal. He is all of that and more. I'm glad he doesn't let you leave me to myself. Man, I'm glad he works on me. I'm glad he keeps working on me. What are you because of this morning? Do you love him for what he is? Our ignorance of God has limited our understanding of God. We're missing the picture here. Come on, Pastor Johnson. You want to know a chastising God? You want to know a convicting God? You want to know a correcting God? That's how you want to know him? That's not the only way I want to know him. I want to know a God who whoops me and then comforts me. I want to know a God who corrects me and then helps me to know what I'm supposed to do. I want a God who can comfort me and yet lift me up. I want a God who can stop me when I need stopping and gets me going again when I need to get going. I want that. I want him. I want the way he is. Not the way I want him. I want him the way he is. Nobody, if you had parents who loved you, nobody ever, and you got a whooping, not just a spanking, you got a whooping. One of them patriotic parents, then they describes, you saw the stars. I said a whooping. See, oh, Pastor Johnson, that's awful. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You don't know your Bible. You don't know not enough Bible to blow the fuzz off a peanut. You know that? Honestly. No kid ever got a spanking and thanked their parents for it. Do you ever have one of those parents who said, go get me a switch? Huh? You're supposed to go out there to the tree. You brought back a banana. Have at it. No kid ever went out there and got one of those big old hickory switches, branch about that long, and said, here you go, Dad, have at it. Give me one of those. Our kids, we had a stick. It was a piece of oak, about that thick, about that long, had a nice handle on it. And we'd always say, get the stick. They knew what that meant. So, well, Pastor Johnson, you're one of those kind of parents. Yeah, you're not, and that's why your kids run your house and mine didn't, and they don't, and they won't. But the truth is, when they knew that stick thing was coming, it was over, Jack. That's a long walk to that cabinet. I never seen a kid walk so slow in my life than going to the cabinet to get that stick out. And then you spank them. Never had one of them turn around and say, "Thank you, Dad. I know you love me." You ever thank him when he chastised you? Usually, the Bible says in Hebrews, not at the moment, but afterward. Hey, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Because at least you found out something. You ain't God. He is. And he'll get you, bro. He will. But the amazing thing about God is this. He'll take you over his knee and give you what you got coming to you. And then he'll stand you up and hug you and tell you that he loves you and put you back on your feet and get you back where you need to be and keep going. He doesn't give up on you. That's amazing. I love him because of what he is. I love him because of the way he is. His way is perfect, the psalmist said, and it is. His way is just, fair, holy, and right. And yet at times his way is dark and mysterious and unknown to me. Do you love the Lord when his way is smooth and clear and obvious and bright and everything's good? Do you love him then? But then when the road is rough and the valley gets a little deep, and you can't see through the darkness, that glass darkly. You can't see through that. Still love him for the way he is? You're still scratching your head about some things, wondering, you know, I don't understand that. That just doesn't make sense to me. God does not, oh, hey, look at me. God does not always make sense to us. But he doesn't have to for it to be right. I love him because of the way he is. You know, I'll tell you one thing about God. He's very consistent. He's not in, out, off, on. You say, yeah, but if you don't understand, how do you know he's consistent? Because I already know he's consistent trusting him. All I have to do is trust God. Now you say, well, that's simple. No, it isn't just simple. It's easy. It's smart. It's the way to go. He knoweth the way that I take. And when they have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I know that. Nobody wants the crucible of suffering and the difficulties of the fires of trials that weigh us and weigh upon us. Nobody wants that. But it's all part of the program because that's the way God is. He helps us. He blesses us. He lifts us. And sometimes he tests us and we go to Mount Moriah for our sacrifice. Yeah, that's how it is sometimes. That's the way he is. I found something out a long time ago, ladies and gentlemen. It's not brilliant, but I'll tell you what, it's helped me tremendously in my life. Just leave him alone. Let God do what God does. You give him time. He had made everything beautiful in his time. You leave it alone. Just keep faithful. Stay faithful. Love God. Do what's right. And let God do what God does. Let God's path take you the way you're supposed to go. Sometimes it'll be rock and rough. And sometimes it'll be in valleys that are deep. But see, valleys are made by mountains on either side. And then he'll take you to the mountaintop and help you and lift you and strengthen you and show you the ways. And sometimes you'll see it all. And sometimes you won't. But it's okay. He sees it all. I love him for the way he is. Let me read it to you this morning. Psalm 18, the Bible says this. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Psalm 18 was written by David. Only he was a young man then and had just spent years hiding in the caves of Adullam from King Saul's jealousy. But God brought him through it. But he said, didn't just say, I love the Lord. He said, I will love the Lord. See, nothing changed the fact that David loved God. Nothing changed it. He didn't say, I have loved the Lord. He said, I will love the Lord. He didn't say, I'm going to love the Lord. He said, I will love the Lord. He didn't say, I used to love the Lord. He said, I will love the Lord. David was out of those caves. When God brought him out of all that, lift his old feet up off that miry clay and set his feet upon a rock, he said, I will. It means he had, he did, and he will continue to love God. Has anything changed your love for him? His way that you don't get, his way that you don't understand, his way that you can't see, his way that makes no sense to you, his way that you look at it and then you begin to question what God does and what God knows, you're in big trouble there, pal. You better get off that road. You better get back to that fact. I love the Lord because his way is right. His way is perfect. His way is best. And he knows what's best for me. And he knows what's best for those, and he knows what's best for them, and he knows what's best for our lives, and he knows what's best for the days in which we live. What are your becauses this morning? Do you love the Lord because of the way he is, and also do you love the Lord because of what he isn't? What he isn't. Hey, here's some really good news this morning. You ready? He ain't me, and he ain't you. And ain't you glad? Haven't you stood in a grocery store or business somewhere in town asking a person who got paid for what they're doing? And you ask them for some help, and they look at you like you're a Martian, like you're from another planet. And they work there. They even have a name tag. Could I get so-and-so? Oh, prehistoric. Okay. Could you go get the person with the brain to give me a hand with what I need here, please? And then you think, man, I'm glad that dude's not God. Whew. Yeah, buddy. I'm driving down the road and people are getting in the way. You better be glad I'm not God. There'd be carcasses all over the place. These people who think somehow or another driving the speed limit makes them look spiritual. You think, you know, partner, there are not enough 4-lane roads in our town. They're just not enough. And I think, you better be glad I'm not gone. Man, I'm glad. I love the Lord because of what he isn't. He is not like us. Why do people want a God like them? These humanists, everything's got to be about them. Well, I happen to feel I have an equal standing and spiritual. Really? You want that kind of God, like you? You want a God like everybody else? You want a God like people? I don't want a God like people. No, thank you very much. I don't want a God like people. I want the God that he is. I'm glad for what he isn't. He ain't like us. That's a good one. He isn't subject to man, man's laws, or man's foolishness. People just seem to have this idea today because they can do whatever they want. That means they just go ahead and do whatever they want and there'll be no consequences for that. I'm sorry, but he isn't like that. He is not. Okay. When we were kids, my brother, older brother Jack and I, sitting in the Southern Baptist service, if you're a Southern Baptist, forgive me for insulting you for a moment, but they were boring. Oh, my soul, they were so boring. It was awful. And the pastor, honestly, we had one raise his voice once he had a heart attack. I mean, it was bad. And we would sit there. My brother and I would sit there, and they always had a clock on the back wall. Turn around, look behind you. Turn around, look behind you. There's no clock on that wall. There's a reason for that. And you know why. Help you. So the clock was there, so the preacher could see it, know that he started at 11 o'clock sharp. He had to end at 12 o'clock dull every Sunday, no question about it. Told one joke to start the service off with. It was never funny. Never funny. I never heard anybody laugh. Couple of snickers from people that were, you know, a little short in the load. But by the net, that was it. And there was nothing. The rest of the sermon was, oh, my soul. So my brother and I would sit there and practice holding our breath, trying to stay entertained. And we would look at the clock to time it. My dad, we were living with my dad and his wife at the time, and they kept the choir up in the choir loft, and my dad was sitting in the choir watching two little boys back there like this. You breathe. You breathe. And then we would feel a burning sensation, and we would look up. And there was those eyes on my dad with them bushy eyebrows. And he was just looking at us. Dead meat. We knew what that meant. When you get home, you're going to want to hold your breath again when you get back to the house. People are so foolish nowadays. They think somehow or another that God just, you know, I can do whatever I want. Nothing's going to happen. Are you kidding me? Hey, look at me. Are you kidding me? I'm glad I love him because that's the way he ain't like that. No. God is in the business of watching over us, our lives, and what we do. He's not in control of everything. People need to quit saying that, because he's not in control of sin. He's not in control of wrong. He is in control of how things turn out. There's no question about that. Man, I'm glad God is not subject to man's foolishness. Well, you can't talk about God here. Well, you know what? You can make that law if you want to. I'm going to talk about God anyway. And you can't pray in school. As long as there's tests, they'll be praying in school. Don't worry about it. Then you can do this and you can do that. Man's foolishness somehow thinks you can outlaw God. Can you imagine how dumb that is? Can you imagine the God of heaven looking down and saying, "Are you kidding me?" I'm glad God is not some old fool. See, Pastor Johnson, that's crude. It is crude. But that's what a lot of people think God is like. He's some old fool up in heaven is going, what was that? How'd they get over there? What's that all about? Wow, what kind of a weird God do you have, my friend? I'm glad and I love him for what he isn't. He isn't incapable. He isn't doesn't misunderstand anything. He never makes a mistake. Never. And he isn't what people make him to be. He is who he is. I'm glad he isn't made in the likeness of men. That he made man, we don't make him. What are your becauses this morning? I love the Lord because, hey, it's okay to love him for what he's been to you, done for you. That's good. Don't forget that. That's very important. But please take it to a little different level and love him for who he is, what he is, the way he is, and for what he isn't. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.